Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back, squad, to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I am super excited for today's guest. I have someone very special sitting next to me for today's podcast episode, which, to be completely honest and transparent, I've never done before. So I'm really excited for you to learn from this person. And I have some personal skin in the game here because I am featuring my husband, Patrick Hagen, on today's podcast episode. Patrick, I'll let him tell you who he is and what he does. Bae?
So my name is Patrick Hagen. As you can tell, I'm married to the host of this show. I'm a local trainer in Lancaster. I work at a private facility, so I do one-on-one training and small group training, and then I also do some online training.
So you're super into helping people get strong AF and staying healthy for as long as possible.
Yes.
In a nutshell.
Yes.
So I wanted to bring you onto today's show because obviously I help women with their nutrition. And as a personal trainer myself, we talk a little bit about exercise, but typically what I say is, yes, if and when you're ready for exercise, let's dive in, let's tackle it. Because the best case scenario is reaching your health and sustainable fat loss goals with nutrition and physical activity. However, if someone isn't ready for exercise, that's cool because nutrition is exponentially more powerful than exercise alone. But hear me when I say best combination is, of course, both. That's going to make your goal feel easier, but also more sustainable because fitness is fun. Your body is designed to move. And of course, food is something that we engage with all day, every day, or at least a hell of a lot of the time. So Patrick, a couple questions for you that clients have asked of me, and you're the expert. So we will defer these questions to you. But when it comes to health and longevity, but also sustainable fat loss, what's the best kind of programming? Like, what should my clients be doing? They're working with me on their nutrition, but when it comes to fitness, what should they do?
No, I think the easiest or the best way is to find what fits in your life, right? Like, find a program, find a schedule that you will be able to adhere to and stick to, because that's what will work best, right? Like, that should at least be like 2 to 3 days a week of probably strength training, some form of cardio in there. But definitely something that fits your schedule. It needs to be repeatable so it becomes a habit in your life. Just like nutrition, right? What's the smallest change we can make to make it consistent?
So you're saying consistency wins. Even if it's not necessarily the best case scenario, you have to be able to stick with it or it's not going to produce any long-term result.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could have a program that's not great, but if you're consistent with it, it will do better than a program that's written out perfectly, but you don't adhere to it, you know, 50% of the time.
Not anything that these people haven't heard before, right? Because when it comes to nutrition, I say the same thing. The goal supportive choice that you make every once in a blue moon does nothing for you. You have to be consistent, even if it's not perfect. We never expect 100% compliance, but it sounds like you're echoing what I often say. Find what fits, be consistent, and stick with what works, even if it's not best case scenario. So let's say someone is at a place in their journey where they are ready to maybe focus a little bit on the quality of their program. If you had to define or maybe write someone a sustainable fat loss workout regimen on a weekly basis, what does that look like? You sort of touched on, yeah, you should have strength training and cardio. Does someone need to do both and why?
Yeah, I think both are necessary for the most part. It depends on the client once again and what their needs are once we sit down. But I think 2 to 3 days a week of strength training and maybe 1 day a week of cardio, but you're also going to probably have some form of cardio built into those other days. And it's really dependent on schedule, right? Like, what is that person capable doing with their time? And not really decide it, but yes, a mix too. And I think the biggest myth, especially when it comes to women, and that's probably your biggest audience, is that weight training is going to make you bulky. And that's just not true, right? Like, you need a huge caloric intake to put on muscle, which most people aren't sitting in, right? They're probably not getting enough protein. And their lifestyle probably isn't centered around putting on building muscle. Like, people you see, bodybuilders, like, every part of their day is specifically designed around how can they put on muscle and build muscle. And your life does not need to be that, but that just goes to show that you're just not going to get bulky, like walking to the gym and doing a few reps with like a decent amount of weight. It's not going to happen. You don't like defy all studies that show it takes months to put on like a pound of tour muscle if that's what your whole lifestyle is centered around. So I think if that myth could just be dispelled a little bit, you're going to be okay lifting some weights, because what puts on muscle will also keep the muscle you have while you're also going through a fat loss phase, right? So most people are trying to lose fat or weight, and we're going to lift weights so we can maintain the muscle mass we have, because most people want to look like toned, right? Or whatever that means. And I think they just want some muscle to show once they lose some fat or weight. And that will happen if we maintain that muscle mass through lifting. I think most people have cardio down. I think there's some other ways we can go about that, but I think most people probably just need to get in and lift a little bit.
So dispelling the myth that women will get bulky if they lift weights, because basically, unless it's your goal and you're working your ass off to get there, you're not going to put on muscle. Yeah. Unless that's the goal. Yeah. You actually, I have the inside scoop, but when we first met, it was your goal to put on a significant amount of muscle mass. And you were training how many times a week when you wanted to do that?
Probably like 5 to 6 days a week.
And I wrote your menus at the time to kind of give you a template, but you were taking in over 3,000 calories a day?
Yes, probably close to 4 at that point.
Which was work. Like, I remember you being almost uncomfortable, bloated from eating all the food, because it's so much intake and you have to be diligent with your gym routine. So all of that to say, you do not have to, you listening, do not have to be worried about getting bulky just by strength training. We're throwing that out. But I agree with Patrick. A lot of the times when I speak with women who say, I want to look like her, or I want to be toned, which I hope you can hear our slightly sarcastic tone when we say that word, because it's not a thing. Toned doesn't exist. It's, I want to lose body fat. But even when I lose body fat, sometimes women are like, well, I don't look like how I want to. And that's because they don't have the muscle mass underneath the fat loss. So building muscle, maintaining your muscle, super, super, super important. So you're saying 2 to 3 times a week of just strength training.
Yeah.
Now, strength training, what does that mean for someone who has no idea? What's the goal of strength training? Where do they start?
It really depends on like where they're coming from, what's their background, right? Like, we're probably just going to try to go for the most basic movements in the gym and just repeat those for a long time and just slowly progress in weight or reps and sets, right? And then build from there, but just try to keep it as simple as possible. Like, there's a lot of like cool flashy things on the internet, but they probably don't pay off long term for many reasons.
You're saying keep it simple with a classic like upper body push pull, lower body push pull.
Yeah, depending on time. Like, if you're going 2-3 days a week, it's probably going to be full body. Even we could go full body workouts 4 days a week if you're planning it correctly, and you're going to be okay.
Now, you said cardio, kind of supplementing that strength training workout would be the best case scenario. Cardio meaning cycling, biking, swimming, the usual, or are you talking about like the typical Orange Theory class?
Up front, probably just like basic, like bike or walk or run or whatever somebody's ready for. There's also some ways we can do it like within the weight training itself with some circuits. But like circuits aren't always necessary for fat loss. Don't get me wrong. They have their place and time, but just like in weight training, you need to build this base in a cardiovascular sense. You probably just need to build a base too, which we can tell if you have that base by like resting heart rate or things along those lines. So are you ready for circuits? Are you ready for the higher intensity? Because it's not always needed up front either. Like you don't need to go and burn yourself out every workout, because that's going to have some negative effects down the road too. And it's going to decide if the next time you step in the gym, can you repeat that same workout? Maybe not. And that becomes an issue long term, because then we're just sort of like fluctuating up and down, and we're always sort of staying at status quo. And we're never making sort of this linear progress, where you're always going to have this little bit of like up and down. But if we just go and kill it every workout, you're basically not going to be able to repeat that long term, and we're just going to stay in this sort of zone of no improvement.
So you're saying a workout routine should be periodized. There should be lower heart rate activity, and then maybe there's a little bit more room for moderate to vigorous activity. But you don't have to go balls to the walls every single workout and be sweating your tush off to get a good quote burn.
No, and you can definitely have like smart work that's still hard work too, right? Like I think there's always try to be these two camps of like, oh, work really hard or work really smart. And I think both those can go together if programming's done well.
So today's topic is one that we've not really talked a whole lot about with my audience. And before we go further and deeper into kind of talking about fat loss geared exercise, for the people who are just starting out, like they're listening to this and they're like, gosh, I would be lucky to take my dog for a walk. Like, where do you suggest those people start? They don't have a gym membership. They've not been active for quite some time, or perhaps never have been intentionally active. What do you recommend for that person?
Like walking is a great start, right? Like that is exercise. Maybe some body weight stuff at home, even though I think you'll be able to progress beyond that pretty quickly, depending on where you're at. And then I think maybe if you're not comfortable walking into like a Globo gym or a big corporate facility, maybe that is when you find a smaller private facility where it's just training clients, or at least close to all training clients, because I think a lot of those people have similar goals to you then. I think you'll maybe feel less judgment, even though I think when you're in a corporate gym, you have to realize most people probably don't care what you're doing. And if they do, they're not worth your time. So,
which kind of brings me to a question that I had kind of posted for us to talk about, but what about gym intimidation? A lot of women hate the gym because maybe of their perception of what people are thinking about them. Maybe they don't feel like they can stand next to the macho meathead at the dumbbell rack. Like, if you're that gal and you want to get to the gym and you know it's going to help you reach your goals, but you just hate that environment, what do you suggest for that woman?
Maybe you have to change environment. Like, environment does trump a lot when it comes to building habits or finding success. So it might be looking for another environment, a different gym, if it really is a place you feel intimidated. I think it's also just realizing like maybe there'll be that one or two people that might judge, but they're probably not worth your time. They probably don't know what they're doing either at the end of the day when it comes to a training standpoint. So they're probably not anybody you need to worry about.
Basically, forget about everybody else and go do your thing. Essentially, <Yeah. laughs> put your blinders on and fuck the rest.
And it's easy. It's probably a little easier for me to say it because I'm a trainer. But yeah.
I agree with you, though. And I think we're so thankful to live in an environment where there are so many options. So if a corporate gym like a YMCA or a rec just doesn't do it for you, you could get your workout on your living room floor. Now we have Netflix and all of these sort of apps that bring the workout straight to your living room. And we're still saying make sure it's a smart training program, but then there are these other gyms, maybe more like warehouse style gyms, and now tons of circuit type gyms and cycle studios. And so find what works for you. Maybe start there and build up some confidence, put some reps in, and then maybe you can start to get a little bit more brave and try new things.
Yeah. And I think maybe that is where like a trainer comes in play, because maybe you can gain some confidence from working with a trainer and feel like you had a little bit more direction with where you're going, both in technique and then also when you step foot in a gym, like what is the purpose of being in there and what is the intent that day that you're trying to accomplish. So I think that's really important too.
This isn't a question that I had on the docket, but you sort of brought it to light. When should somebody hire a trainer? Like, how do they know when it might be the next best step?
I would say up front, right? Like, I think that's going to put you on, going to set the stage for success right away. And that depends on a lot of situations. But yeah, I think right away, if you can, if that is the ability that you have, is to find a trainer.
I would say, in hindsight, I wish I had worked with a trained professional. And I know enough about you to know that what's coming next is a disclaimer that not everyone who calls themselves a personal trainer is actually working from smart programming, right? So be careful with who you trust to take your body through these hoops. But when you find that professional, I think you're ensuring proper form, reducing your risk of injury, and getting more effective results, which is something I wish I had way, way, way back when, before I made all these crazy fitness mistakes thinking I had to go hard or go home, which is so far from the truth. So I do see that benefit. I also have seen, just from my clients who feel like they're ready to level up, maybe they've done the gym scene, maybe they've done classes with groups of people, but now they feel like they need some more individualized attention. They're not getting the same results that they could be getting with a program that's designed specifically for them and their goals. And so that's when a trainer maybe could also be really beneficial.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people sort of get stuck, right? They see upfront success, because most people will, no matter what the program looks like. Because you're so new to it, you'll sort of adapt to anything that's thrown at you, and then you'll start to hit this wall. I think a trainer has a large value there with now knowing how to progress you beyond that stage.
So you're saying someone who's just dipping their toe into fitness will see better, faster results than someone who's been at it for quite some time?
Yeah. You start to see like less return on your investment the farther you go, like to the extremes of fitness. Like, that's just is what it is, right? Like, the more you adapt, the less calories you'll burn to certain things, right? Because your body now is becoming
more efficient.
Yeah, more efficient with it.
So if you're that person, you've been working out for years, but you're not seeing results, which is something that I recently asked my nutrition coaching with Nicole Facebook squad. I said, hey, how many of you are working out and not seeing results? And a whopping like 40% of them said, me. Like, this describes me to a T. What do you do?
We look at, I'm going to look at the history that they've done lifting wise. Maybe something's missing there. Maybe we need to decrease the amount of what they're doing. Maybe they're just, they can't push intensity anymore because they've pushed it too far, or they maybe need to push the intensity up a little bit or put more volume on certain lifts. So that'd be like more sets or more reps. But if you're going to do that, you need to know how to do it correctly, so you're not like getting injured or just killing yourself workout to workout. So we'll sort of look at all of that.
I think that was one of the biggest lessons for me is at the beginning, it was how many calories am I burning and how much time am I spending sweaty? That to me was success. And after going through my personal training certification, but I've learned even more from you, it's so not just about that. Yeah. It's periodized programming, reps and sets matter. And you have to take a look at your whole calendar year, really, and look at what's the goal here. Am I trying to lose fat this season? Is this a season where maybe I'm just focusing on maintenance? Do I want to build strength, put on muscle? It's so much bigger of a picture than I think we give it credit for. And society is kind of to blame because we make it about calories. We make it about the burn, inappropriately, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just the farther you push it, the smarter your programming has to become. Like, you can keep a lot of qualities pretty high, but the farther you push those qualities, the more like nuanced your programming has to become, the smarter you have to do it so you can come back and repeat it again. And it's really just like a big picture thing. You know, a lot of people are like, I want to look like that person, or, and there's that own issue of like, you need to value yourself and not what other people look like. But you also, like, sometimes those people working out for like 20 years, right? They've built this base, like, and you just need to realize, like, it takes a lot of time. Just like nutrition, right? It's not a quick fix. It's not going to last. And the same thing comes to when you're working out or when you're lifting weights.
Can you tell everyone that I didn't tell you just to say that?
There is no, I wasn't bribed by any like homemade protein cookies or anything.
It was just well placed. Yeah. So I appreciate that. Speaking of maybe focusing, I don't want to say misguidedly. No, I do want to say misguidedly on calories only. What are some of the other industry gimmicks that you see people wasting time with? So when it comes to fitness and exercise, what are the things that you're like, oh my gosh, I wish people would just stop doing that because they're just not training smarter?
I mean, anything would be a waste of time depending on the goal.
Nothing sticking out at you in particular?
Not right now. I try not to like focus on those things anymore. Yeah, I'd have to give that one some thought.
So basically, everything should be goal dependent.
Yeah, everything should be like oriented towards what your goal is, right? Because something might be a waste for one person, but it might make sense somewhere else in somebody else's routine.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what I talked about when I addressed these 40% of people who aren't seeing results. A, we talked a lot about nutrition, but B, if you don't know the purpose behind your workout, yeah, it may just be aimless, yeah, which is why you're not seeing any results to begin with. So we talked about maybe what not to do. Train smarter, not harder. You don't want to focus exclusively on calories. Make sure you know the purpose behind your workout. Follow a periodized program, preferably designed by a professional if you have the means for it. What are some of the habits, though, of your most successful clients? I mean, you've worked with people for years to help them reach goals. They've achieved those goals. They've made different goals and you've helped them to reach those. What are the qualities that they, like, why them? Why have they been so successful?
Can I go back to the calories comment first?
Of course, yeah.
So I think that is a big benefit of going into the gym, right, is that it will give you other things to focus on outside of calories, right? Like maybe you have just been working on nutrition and you need to have that down, and you probably need to have it down before you come into the gym, or you can create it once you start working out. But the gym will start to give you other things to focus on, right? So when you're fat loss, you have sort of these metrics of, okay, I'm gonna have measurements, or I'm gonna be weighing in, or I'm have my calories, I'm gonna have a number of protein servings, whatever you're tracking, right? And now the gym gives you some other metrics, so there's more chances to celebrate small wins, right? Like maybe you're tracking like how much you weight you lifted throughout the week or within one session, or maybe you're working towards a push-up off the floor or a pull-up, right? Those are a few examples. But there's more opportunities to celebrate small wins, and when we can do that, we create more habits. And then those habits just keep building, right? And then that will, and then all of a sudden, maybe you're like, oh, I stopped focusing on weight or calories for a little bit, and I was obsessed with that, and I focused on like some strength-oriented things, and now all of a sudden, like, I've dropped a little weight because I've just like been able to walk away from it mentally for a little bit.
Performance goals.
So, yeah, I think that's a big part of the gym people miss, and I think that's where, like, maybe that's what's celebrated in fitness that's wrong. It's just this like intensity driven workout where it's just like, we'll go sweat and there's no way to like measure that, right? Like there's no like research and you're like, all right, if you sweat this much, you're gonna have this much success, right? Like it doesn't make sense. So I think that's probably something I see that's pushed a lot. It's just this like intensity based workout in the sense of like intensity is just sweat, right? Like how much do I sweat or how sore I am, and that comes with its own issues. And maybe that's what I think that's pushed out there. That's just poor, because I think if you focus on other things, other metrics in a gym, like you said, performance-based goals, you give yourself a little more purpose in the gym, right? Like now you step into the gym, you're like, okay, I know what I'm working towards. I'm not just doing all this work for no reason. And then it also just gives you some other metrics to focus on.
I agree 100%. I think you take anyone and you remove their focus from weight, the scale, measurements, calories, macros, and you say, hey, let's focus on how you feel. Let's make what your body can do the focus, as opposed to maybe results you aren't seeing. For whatever reason, you hit a plateau, and that helps people break through that right away. I actually think I'm thinking of a client in particular that we have in common. Yes. And on a couple of our coaching calls, we're celebrating these successes, and it's been celebration of, I don't have pain in my knees anymore. Like that's a huge quality of life win. So now if your pain has been eliminated because you're training wisely, maybe you're following a more whole foods type of nutrition strategy. We're coming at it from both angles, but neither of those angles are numerically focused. This is someone who's enhancing her life because she's choosing to prioritize how she feels, what her body can do, and how that's going to improve her quality of life for decades.
Yeah.
which is way more powerful than any numerical metric, yeah, in my opinion.
So if I would say that to anybody, like, just work out with a goal, like, don't just work out to work out, or like, that's fine to go in and get sweaty here and there. Like, we all like that, right? But have some like metrics and track some things, because that will drive you like long term. That will give you the long game in the gym, and you'll have a lot more success.
Okay, so now back to my question ignored before. No, I'm glad we touched on that. Your clients, your most successful clients, what are their characteristics?
Consistency, just showing up. And that sort of comes back to probably what we just talked about, is like we have a goal. So I think it's easier for them to be consistent and show up. They make time for it. Just like anything that's important to you, you have to make time for it or set time aside. And then also, like, they're able to set realistic goals and like long-term goals, right? Like, it's not just 2 week or 30 day goals. Like, these are long-term goals. You know, we're looking at 3 month, 6 month, 9 month period of where we want to be at that point. I think those are probably like the two biggest things, is A, they're consistent. B, we're setting like realistic, obtainable goals.
That was actually one of the questions I posted on Instagram that I was bringing Husbay onto the podcast today. And someone said, if I'm maintaining my weight, is it okay for me not to work out? So like, the goals was fat loss. Hey, I made it. So I can just stop working out now? Like, what would you say to that?
I mean, I think strength is definitely going to help you in the sense of like injury reduction, like doing things outside of gym that will take physical effort. I think there's a lot of importance there. I think recovering from injury, like let's say you have an injury that's not weight training related, you know, like a joint replacement per se. If you go into that stronger, you're going to come out and have a quicker recovery.
I mean, strength is like you're training for life, essentially. Yeah. Even if you don't have a fat loss goal, you're not training for a competition of any kind. There's still benefit.
Yeah. And by all means, like maybe that takes back, like I think a lot of things that are pushed on social media, once again, like powerlifting and strongman and Olympic weightlifting have all become like bigger sports to the masses. And all those are great. Like if you want to do that, great. It's a goal. It will give you a purpose. But like, you don't have to do those things in the gym, and like you're okay like that. So maybe not feeling like you need to do any of those things. Maybe you're like, oh, I can go in the gym, and you can still create goals in the gym that don't relate to any of those things.
You don't have to be earning any medals.
Yeah.
Which actually brings me to, I don't know, maybe this is like a weird personal story I should keep to myself, but honestly, when I first got into running, I ran because I enjoyed the feeling and I really loved it. And then I had a coach, not a coach like the ones we're suggesting, who was like, well, what's the point of running if you're not timing yourself? Like, you should work on decreasing your mileage. Like, you could set a goal for a half marathon and like time it. And so at the time I was like, well, I guess, right? Like, yeah, why not be more competitive, get more aggressive? And I ultimately think it led to more injury, but it also was a player in eliminating some of the joy around movement. So I would say to the person who asked that question, sometimes fitness is just a great part of life, and it leaves you feeling better, more energized, knowing that, hey, I did something that was just for me today, self-care for the win, but also your body was designed to move. So I hear from clients a lot, like when I'm more active, I want to make smarter food choices because the two go hand in hand. And the inverse is also true. When I'm feeding my body the right things, I feel more likely, better fueled to want to be active. So yeah, I don't know what my point was in sharing that story, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
So another question that I had, and you sort of touched on this a little bit, but how can I not ask, in your experience, both personally as an athlete, but also professionally as a coach, how important do you think nutrition is in any fitness goal?
Very important, because I'm trying to like think of a situation. It's not. So I can't. So it's very important in any goal you can think of, right? Like if you're putting on muscle, it's going to come into play. If you're trying to get stronger, right, it's going to come into play. If you're trying to lean out, it's going to come into play. I'm trying to think of like other situations in the gym, and they all sort of like, you need nutrition if you want to do it at a high level, or even if you want to see success with those goals, you need nutrition. I shouldn't even say high level. If you want to see success with those goals, you're going to need nutrition that comes along with it.
Because I think we've both seen people beating their head against a wall in the gym, coming in day after day, week after week. And that's fine if it's just habit and they want to move. But a lot of these people are hoping for results and yet they're not getting any because this missing component of nutrition is not something that maybe they're ready, willing, or able to focus on.
Yeah. And I think there's probably like periods of life where maybe you can focus on a little less and you can probably still maintain and gain some strength. But there will be times where we need to really focus on it to keep going with the goal or to keep seeing success and wins.
So I'm going to brag on you a little bit. Obviously, you're super freaking strong and you've trained for several powerlifting competitions. Can I just ask, who is the nutrition coach that you use to help you train for those events?
Her name is slipping my mind.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
You.
I wouldn't allow him to use anyone else. No, I'm just kidding. I totally would. But what we're saying is nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. Fuel in absolutely affects performance out. Do your best. Start with the low-hanging fruit. It does not have to be the perfect program with the most well-balanced nutrition strategy. Start with where you're at. Train smarter, not harder. And ask for help if you need it, even if that's just an accountability buddy, I think, to go with you to the gym. But if you're feeling like you're at a point where maybe a personal trainer, a coach would be helpful, hire one. Ask. Patrick, my last question. Well, first of all, thank you for being on the show. I know it's a little outside your comfort zone.
Thank you for having me.
Before we sign off, can you tell people where they might be able to find you? If they are interested in training in person, perhaps, but you even do online training. So if someone's interested in that, how can they reach you?
Right now, just through Instagram, it's Patrick Hagen Strength, very simple. And there will soon be a website and a newsletter coming out. Hopefully at the end of this month or beginning of October. So
exciting.
Yes.
And even if someone's not interested or maybe just curious about training at this point, they should still follow you on Instagram because you post tons of like free content and great exercises that anyone can try. So shameless plug, Patrick Hagen Strength. Thanks, love.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.